All right, trying to keep some semblance of normality, if that's a word, having Pastor Seatman do our announcements, and that is a blessing to see him. Well, I hope you've had a good week. I hope you're learning some things, maybe about yourself, maybe about the Lord. You know, in these times, it seems like God reveals himself in new ways, and I can't wait to get back together and hear some of those. Some of you have some of our teenagers have sent me some messages about what God has showed them in their Bible reading, and I cannot tell you what an encouragement that is to me. Get your Bibles out this morning. Exodus chapter 12. I want to get to here, but we're going to have to move back a little bit, ramp into it, and so we know what's going on. I think the backstory is important because we'll see. Exodus chapter 12, in verse 30, and we'll start there. Before we do that, I want to pray, and then we'll get into this morning's message. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace to us. I'm thankful for your kindness and love. And Lord, I do ask that you bless this service. And although we cannot be together in body, I pray in unity of mind and spirit, God, that you would bless there. And Lord, so looking forward to the day when we can sing the songs together and come together here. Lord, I pray that you'd again bless your word in a mighty way. Lord, we need to hear from you yet again. God, thank you for your faithfulness to us. God, thank you again for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. You're a great God to us, and I am thankful for all those things. Lord, again, bless here now, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In our life, the leading of God is unmistakable. When God leads us in a direction, it's not, from my experience, has not been, if I've ever moved off the way that God is leading, it is not by accident. I know that God is directing my life, and I know where He's directing it, and I have chosen to go one way or another. A few weeks ago, we talked about the dangers of the choice of sin. We don't fall into sin. It's not a mistake. It's a choice. Well, in my own life, or in your life, if you have followed the Lord, it is not by mistake. It is by deliberate action. And that's what we're going to be looking at here today. As we study in the book of Exodus, the nation of Israel has been under bondage for close to 430 years. God raises up a deliverer in Moses. We know the story of Moses. Moses goes into Pharaoh and he explains some things. He's trying to have his people come out, and over a series of compromises or back and forth, what began as an unknown person to Pharaoh, after a while, they very much knew each other. Moses and Pharaoh were the two opposing heads of their nations. And there, after a series of plagues, we find ourselves at the final plague that comes across. And Exodus chapter 12 and verse 30, and the Bible says that, what's happening here? Well, this is the night that the death angel passes through the land. And if there isn't blood on the doorpost, well, the firstborn dies in the house. Whether you're Israelite or a Gentile, an Egyptian, it touches every house. And to ensure their safety, blood is required on the doorposts. In a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about that faith. We'll be talking about the blood. We'll be talking about those things. But today we're going to be looking past that. If we look in, this is the account of what happened in Exodus chapter 20 or 12 and verse 30. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. If you didn't have the blood on the doorpost, there was the oldest son would be dead. It's an awful plague. As we continue reading in verse 31, and he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. This is what Moses asked originally, but Pharaoh wouldn't allow it. And plague after plague, and here they are, and they're pretty much getting kicked out of the land now. In verse 33, and the Egyptians were urgent upon the people. The Bible says that they were urgent. They wanted them out, and they wanted it right away. So here's what happens. This is what Moses has been asking for. 430 years of bondage, and they finally get to leave. Look at verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And verse 41, and it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out of the land of Egypt. That's why we call this book Exodus. The nation of Israel exits Egypt. They bring their stuff. They bring one more thing. It was told of us chapter 13. If you turn the page in verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph. That was prophesied of in Genesis chapter 50. Moses or Joseph says, hey, when I'm going to die here, but don't leave me here. This is where I don't want to stay. And sure enough, in Exodus chapter 50 and verses 24 through 26, we see that account. And Moses keeps good on a promise, again, 400 years ago. And sure enough, they're on their way. Finally seeing the light of day. The bondage is done. They are outside of the city barrier, if you will, of and the country border of Egypt. On their way. Ready. This is what they've been praying for. But the question is, where do they go from here? Here they are in the middle of the desert, in the middle of nowhere. And you know, in our day and age, what do we have? We have GPS. We love GPS. Sometimes I even know where to go when I put it on there. I just want to see the time and how long and almost maybe a challenge, right? GPS says you'll be there in 15 minutes. Oh, challenge accepted. Let's see. They didn't have that. So there they step out of the borders of the land of Egypt. And on their way, this is what they wanted. And now they don't know where to go. Just a few weeks ago, we were in Washington, D.C. And that was my second time having gone to Capital Connection. Took a school trip some years ago to Washington. But I do not spend enough time in Washington, D.C. to know the transit service and or all the sites and how it all works. Now, I'm getting better each time. But there I found myself in D.C. And for somehow, some reason, other pastors that paired up with us said, hey, we're going to follow you. Follow me? I don't know where I'm going. That was, to say the least, I had very little responsibilities at Capital Connection this year, but that was stressful to me because people were depending on me to lead them, and I didn't know where to go. So I did what anybody else would do. I asked questions. Anytime I saw a transit worker, I asked, are we going the right way? I did research the night before. I looked up addresses. I'm downloading maps onto my phone, trying to figure out if we get off at this exit, how far do we have to walk? And I'm constantly monitoring that. Why? Because I am responsible not just for me, but I had 11 other people, a couple other groups there. People kept pairing up with our group, depending on us to get them to a specific spot. It's all in total, maybe 20 people. Moses was responsible for well over 1 million people, probably close to 2. Could you imagine the stress? There they are. Moses is leading the way, and he steps out, crosses the border of Egypt, and there they are, and they're cheering, maybe tears of joy and praise, and all eyes now turn to Moses, and they say, all right, where now? What did Moses do? Where was the promised land? How do we get there? There's no road that goes from Egypt to the promised land. They're not asking for directions. It's a massive people. How did he get there? Well, God made a way. I love these verses in Exodus chapter 13. Look at verse 20. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And there they sat. They sat there and they waited. And Moses, I'm sure, crying out to God and begging God, God, you've got to show me, how are you going to lead me? Are you going to draw a path in the ground? What are you going to do? Lord, I need you to show me how to get there. Moses' desire was to lead the people to where they ought to be. And here the Bible says, and the Lord went before them by day. Look at what he uses, in a pillar of a cloud. And to lead them the way. And by night, in a pillar of fire, to give them light, to go by day and night. The Bible says, and he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God says, oh Moses, I'll show you which way to go. And by day, what does he produce? He produces a cloud that connects from heaven to earth. Could you imagine watching this massive cloud? Maybe in our minds, we think of a tornado minus the wind. Just a cloud that comes down. And then at night, it is all lit up. When the cloud moved, when the pillar of fire moved, they moved. When it stopped, they stopped. And God made a way for direction in the nation of Israel's life. You just follow this, and I'll get you where you need to go. Now, there has not been a person or a people that had been down this road before. This was all new. Completely dependent upon that pillar. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They were to be led day and night. And that is our message this morning. To be led day and night. First, to be led by day. I like what God shows here in verse 21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way. By day they were to be moving. By day, as they went throughout, they would watch this cloud. And then when it would go forward, it was the purpose of leading them ahead. He expected movement on their part. And you know what? There's always a tendency in our life to become settled or complacent with where we're at. I can make this work. I've gone as far as I need. I've assimilated. I've kind of gotten what I want. I'm just going to stay here and build roots. You know, in the Bible, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14, it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God expects us as Christians to continue moving forward. He expects us as Christians to continue pressing on, reaching forth, growth in our life. I'm not saying every year you got to buy a new house and move to a new place. No, we're talking about our spiritual relationship with the Lord. We don't ever want to get into a place where I've just become complacent. No, God desired the nation of Israel that they would keep moving forward. He desires in our life that we would also keep moving forward. But what do we need? Just like the nation of Israel, we need direction. And He has provided it. See, I do want to move forward much like Moses. I want to lead my family forward. I want to lead our church forward. I want to lead our school forward. I want the responsibilities that God has placed in my life to move forward with that. And as do you. But it's frustrating when we don't know where to go. So we need direction. Ever feel like you're just spinning your wheels, maybe stuck in a rut? Not knowing where to go or what to do. I know some of our seniors are getting close to that, and there's some decisions to be made. I know some of our 11th level students are looking at what's coming up. I know some of our students in college are still contemplating, God, what is it that you want me to do with my life? And oh, that's a frustrating thing because you get inundated with those questions. Here you are in college. So what are you going to do when you finish college? I don't know. You don't like those questions. Why? Because you don't have answers. How do you think Moses felt that first day? There they sat on the border of the wilderness. Moses, where are we going tomorrow? I don't know. And in your own life, maybe your spouse asks you, hey, where are we going with this? I don't know. Well, that's not God's plan. God has a plan for you. He does want us to keep moving forward. He does want us to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He has a vision for you. He has a plan for you. He has a direction for you. So how do I know? Well, we do like Moses did. We seek him. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, what does it say? Shall find me. Moses, in the stillness of that one night, there he sat in the wilderness with maybe a million or two people behind him, begging God, God, I need you to show me how to lead these people. How about in our own life? We search the scriptures. We pray. We get wise counsel. And you know what? Those three things are going to agree. We seek God. We seek God in our life. By day. By day. He expected movement by day. But he also expected movement, number two, he was going to lead them by night also. I like what it says in Exodus chapter 13. It says this, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night. There were some nights he expected movement. There would be some nights when the pillar of fire would travel. And it was on the nation of Israel to be watching that and moving. You know, sometimes we hit some down spots in our life. Maybe a season, a time of difficulty. You know what? God still expects us to move. Say, well, I can't see. That's what the light of the Word of God is for. Could you imagine being in the wilderness? There's no traffic lights. So what did God provide? A light. Our verse this year is Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Word of God lights our way. He uses the light of the Word of God to guide us. In Psalm 32 and verse 8, it says this, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. See, God knows. And we would do well if we came to the Lord and say, God, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. And I need your light to show me. I need some direction in my life. And in the midst of dark times, God still desires us to follow him. Did you hear that? In the midst of dark times, God still desires us to follow him. We don't have license to take off. We don't have license to, it's a difficult season, therefore I get to... No, he still expected Israel to be watching that pillar. And when it moved, they moved. Even in the nighttime. Following the Lord in our life knows no season. We can never take a break. Day and night, we are to be following the Lord. But not only did it provide light, it provided security to them. Say, why? Did it keep the wild animals away? No, it just showed that God's presence was there. I wonder if there were times when a father looks out, wakes up in the middle of the night and just checks outside the tent just to see if God's presence was still there. He wasn't checking for him. He was checking for his wife and children. Maybe a mother in the middle of the night checks and sees, is God's presence still here? Maybe a child gets up and checks out the crack and mom and dad are there and They say, son, what are you doing? I just wanted to see if God was still here. Just wanted to see if God's presence was still in this place. You know, we have some reassurance from the Bible, the truths of the Word of God in our life. It wouldn't be bad to just check every now and then in the pages of this book. Is God's presence still here? In Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Lord, are you still here? Oh, yes, he is. They were led by day, but they were also led by night. You know, maybe a lot of us are excited about our first time to come back together as a church and worship the Lord together. And we're holding on to that thread and excited about it and encouraged by it and can't wait for it and just praying for that moment. And just to assemble together to sing. Oh, that's going to be wonderful. Just shake hands and see each other. Can't wait for those. I don't know what the first thing, what you're going to do when the ban gets lifted. I'd like to see some of my family. My dad's on the other side of town, and we talk every day, but my brother's over there, my sister's up in Lake Placid, and my sister in town here, and man, I sure would love to be able to just see them. Just give my dad a big hug, stepmom a big hug. Where do you think the first place the Lord led the nation of Israel? Here they are, they come out of Egypt. They got the cloud by day and by night. Man, where's the Lord going to take us? Where's he going to lead us? It's not where you thought. See, in my life, I think, God, this is the best place. You need to get me from here to there. This is where I ought to be. And the Lord says, oh, really? And he goes here. No, Lord, look, this is where I want to be. And he says, this is where I need you over here. It, so many times, my way and God's way. So where does he lead them? God knows the best place to lead them. God knows the best place to lead us. That's why we're following him in the first place. If the pillar of cloud went one way, or the fire went another way, and the nation of Israel went the opposite direction, you know what would happen? They'd be in big trouble. So it is in our life. So where did God lead them? Exodus chapter 14. Without reading the entire chapter, you know where he leads them? To the banks of the Red Sea. Red Sea? With Egypt's army, Pharaoh's army, the strongest army in the world at the time, on their back. Say, why would God lead them there? Because before we ever enter the promised land, he needs to prove our faith. It was a test. Do you truly believe who I say I am? Is pretty much what he was asking. In Hebrews chapter 11, I love this verse. It says this, but without faith, go there, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll read there. Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See how that goes hand in hand? See how that's connected? Moses sought the Lord and God led. But it was going to require some faith. Hey, you may seek God and cry out to him and say, God, I need you to lead me in my life. And he does. And you know what will be first required? A test of faith. I thought it was going to be easy. And here you find yourself on the banks of the Red Sea with the nation of Egypt coming strong hard after you, looking to do you harm. And you're faced with a question of faith. Do I believe God for who He says He is? In the same chapter, that's why I wanted you to turn there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. Faith. The very first place that God leads the nation of Israel out of Egypt was to attest to their faith. No different in our life. God, I want to follow You. I seek You. And all of a sudden, in our mind, I know spiritually speaking, we see the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire move, and we start going that way. And what are we immediately confronted with? A test of faith. Do we believe God for who He says He is? First, we are led by day. Secondly, we are led by night. Thirdly, we are led to the sea. A test of faith in our life. Will you step in? Will you allow the Lord to part the Red Sea in your life? To prove Himself yet again. Will you follow the pillar? In our life, I can't help but think about John chapter 10. We'll conclude with this. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 14. John 10, 14. These sweet words, I am the good shepherd and the good, and know my sheep and am known of mine. There Christ makes Himself known unto His sheep. We are the sheep, He is the shepherd. And then we jump down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. And what do? They follow me. They follow me. As a Christian, who am I following? I'm following the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you find yourself off course a little bit. Scared. Afraid. And just like the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, Jesus Christ wants to lead us in our life to make His presence known, that we don't have to wander anymore. Maybe we're trying to lead the Lord. Imagine Moses got out in front of the cloud. What would happen? He'd be leading in the wrong direction. Can I ask you to consider following Christ today? To give Him your life. To allow Him to be your Savior and your guide. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Tomorrow morning you're going to wake up and you're going to look outside and there will not be a pillar of cloud by day nor a pillar of fire by night. No. But sitting on your nightstand will be your guide. Can I encourage you to allow the Lord Jesus Christ to guide you in your life? I'm going to read you a story. I want to tell you about the Winchester Mansion. It's in California. It's the massive structure that was built by Sarah Winchester. She was the widow of the gun company owner. For 38 years, from 1884 until her death in 1922, the house was under constant construction. Teams of carpenters, masons, and other workers were employed around the clock. There's a couple reasons. Number one, various stories have been told about the reason of this. Most say that Mrs. Winchester believed that the house was haunted and she had to keep working on this and keep doing this to appease the spirits. We know that not to be true. She thought that others said that if she kept building, she would not die as long as she was still building. We know that not to be true. Whatever the reason, she continued ordering more renovation and construction as long as she lived. There were more than 10,000 windows placed in the Winchester mansion. Doorways and stairs that led to blank walls. And some 160 rooms in total. It's estimated that she spent more than $70 million on renovations. The equivalent of today's money. On pointless construction. All in desperate search for peace that was ultimately doomed to fail. You know, today many people are seeking peace through equally fruitless means. They turn to pleasures or drugs or alcohol, immorality, wealth, and other dead-end avenues. Like the staircases that lead nowhere in the mansion. Pursuing such paths will never bring peace. Instead, we find peace when we follow the path that God has given us in His Word. Those who keep the law of God in their hearts and obey it in their actions add peace to their lives. Rather than seeking peace as an end, we should seek to follow Christ. And when we do that, peace is a side effect. I want to read you a song. I won't sing it, but it captures it perfectly to conclude here. In our hymnals, it's number 110. In verse 1, it says, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know that whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." Please know that we have a guide in our life, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. And by day and by night, we ought to follow. May I draw your attention to the very first place that the Lord led the nation of Israel to was to attest to their faith. And it may be no different for you and I. But if I can encourage you to follow the Lord, if you're not saved here today, put your faith and trust in Him to forgive you of your sins. Christian, if you've wandered off, get back to God. Maybe if you've even been questioning, say, "I'm new at this thing." All right. Well, let's seek and follow God wholeheartedly. Church, I do miss you and I love you. Can't wait to see you. I appreciate again all the calls and the texts and the... I can't wait till we can assemble together. Be in prayer for one another. Pray for me. Pray for my family. Miss you. And I pray that this message was a help and encouragement to you. God bless you. Have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.